Welcome back to Loving Yourself Completely. I hope you all had an amazing weekend, an amazing week, and are getting ready to start your work week back up. It's always, you know, on Sundays, you always have that, like, dreadful feeling of, you know, getting back into routine in the work week. And I don't know about everybody else, but like our spring break was last week, so we had just a very calm, relaxing, fun week. And then when you go back to, you know, the school hustle and all that stuff, the work and everybody trying to be on the same schedule, is it can be overwhelming to get back to that. And that's where I'm at right now, you know, trying to make sure backpacks are ready and books are ready and even my school stuff is ready, and I have my appointments this week, and trying to get myself back on track for my studies as well. So again, I hope you all had a wonderful week, and today I'm going to talk about something that I've been seeing quite a bit in my emails. Not only, it's not really too much to deal with anxiety this week, it's more or less the people in your life that just don't make you feel the greatest, but yet you keep them around. And we've talked about this so many times. I've went through my episodes and I was like, I debated on even doing this one because I was like, you know, this has been addressed over and over again, of ridding of the toxic people. And then I thought to myself, after one specific email I read that had to do with somebody was dealing with someone who was always nice to them, like on the phone and when they hung out, just them two together. But then he had told me that when they hung out around other people, this person just like tore him apart and always made him feel kind of worthless and things like that. And I can relate to that. And I'm sure many of us can relate to that, of having those people in your life that you really enjoy spending time with one-on-one and that you can call them at any time. But then when you get them around other people, maybe they don't make you feel so well. And this stuck out to me because I personally have gone through this very recently with somebody, and it really hit me hard because this person I always call and I always talk to every day, and then when we got around each other in a different environment and we were talking, this person felt it was their place to judge my decisions and what I do with my life and things that I personally am doing for myself that has nothing to do with them. And she chose to attack me over it, not in an aggressive anger way, but kind of like that smart ass kind of, okay, well, some people must be nice, you know, like one of those things. And it really upset me because I am the last person to judge people. I'm the last person that says, you should be doing this my way, this way, and if you don't, well then screw you. I don't do that because I have been in so many, as most people with mental health issues and anxiety and things like that, we are usually the last people to judge people because we are so hard on ourselves that the thought of looking at other people and judging them is too exhausting. So when I went to therapy this week, I had brought it up to him, this situation that had kind of upset me. And when I had left that day, because I'm going to take you back for a moment to that situation that I was in, after it happened, I tried to play it off. I was just like, okay, but she had gotten up and walked away. I'm like, wow, that was obviously upsetting to her, the way I spoke about it. And it was upsetting to me the way she felt she was going to judge me off of something that I was doing in my personal life. My family and I just ended up leaving. It got very uncomfortable and it almost ruined my whole day. I was so appalled at this person who felt the need to not only try to bring down my excitement for something, but to like shame me for spending money on something I personally was going to do. I didn't ask her for a donation. I didn't, you know, ask her to put the bill. Like, this was something I was doing. Everybody was talking about, you know, vacations, and they were talking about, oh, they're going to go on a vacation together, these other people that were there. And when I brought up a vacation I wanted to take with my family, you would have thought that I chopped off one of their toes, you know. It was horrendous. How dare I spend any amount of money to do anything fun? Anyways, it's those kind of people that are hard to get away from. And like I was talking about this man writing in, those people who are happy for you until you're doing something different than what they choose. Those people that come for you in situations that make them feel uncomfortable. And so it's like you can be great with these people, and you can have so much fun with them, and you can rely on them and call them and do all the things. But at the same time, they will turn on you. These kind of people are they're not always your enemies up front. They're your undercover haters. Like, they're your undercover enemies that don't even know why they pick on you. Like, they don't know it. Anyways, I'm going to skip forward to where I was at. So I went to my therapist about it, you know, and this is why I want to talk to you guys about this, because I see this quite a bit in emails of people where people struggle to communicate with people like this, and as well as myself. That's why I brought it up with him. I kind of told him what was going on, and I had said it was so inappropriate to discuss money. I find that inappropriate and disgusting at all ends. Don't discuss money with me. I thought it was so inappropriate, I was telling him, and he said, well, what was your response to this? I told him the whole conversation leading up to it, and he said, okay, so your response was to kind of be a smartass. Like, I was a little bit of a smartass. I had kind of said something, I'm not even going to say it because I was a smartass, and it was something I wish I wouldn't have said. And he said, and then what happened? I said, well, she walked away because I was an asshole. And he said, okay. I was like, but I gave her social cues 3 to 4 times before that to say, hey, let's not talk about that. Hey, let's not go there. I'm not going to discuss that. I'm not worried about that. And I told him, I said, I felt like I gave her the social cues. I kind of laughed. I kind of joked. I brushed it off. I said, meh, I'm not going to discuss that. And she kept going. So I felt like I wanted to be a jerk. And I overstepped my own personal boundaries with it. I don't like being that person. I don't like hurting people's feelings. And I don't like people getting me to the point where I feel it's necessary to hurt their feelings. Just because they hurt mine and overstepped my comfort zone doesn't give me the right to be a jerk. So do I feel like I need to apologize? Absolutely not. Because this person has done this to me on so many occasions that it's just disgusting. Anyways, so he said to me, so what did you do? I said, well, I left. I said, I got up and I left. I left nicely, though. I said goodbye to everybody. I gave hugs. We had already been there a while. We had prior engagements for afterwards, and we had left. And he said, well, why did you leave? I said, well, what do you mean? Like, that's what I do. If I feel like people are coming for me and things like that, like, I left. And then he said, okay, so you left. Why do you have these people in your life still? So, well, they're important people to me, and I want my child to grow up around them. And he said, why? He said, I don't, you know, you've told me time and time again how these people will be there for you one day and not the next day. And you preach nonstop about getting rid of toxic people. And these people, unfortunately, even though they're close to you, are the most toxic people to you. They're the people who should judge you the least, but they judge you the most, which I understand. So I said, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why I keep trying. I don't know why I keep trying. They're all I have left. And he said, okay, well, here's how you can approach it next time. This was kind of a key I wanted to share with you guys. He said, instead of leaving, when somebody comes for you in a unhealthy manner and an attacking viewpoint, he said, why don't you say to them the hows and the whats? It's never the whys. You never question them. You never say, why does this hurt your feelings or whatever. But it kind of stuck with me. You said, you asked them how or what. How does this affect your life? And what is it about me saying these things that make you so upset? And it challenges your, I'm going to call them your attacker, to kind of question those values. When he said that to me, I laughed. I laughed and I thought, if I were to ever say those things to these people, it would be a joke. But then I thought to myself, what other options do I have left at this point? If I want to continue a relationship with the only people I have left in my life that are very important to me. But I do. I'm just like you guys. I struggle letting go of certain people who are very close to me and who, textbook-wise, they're supposed to be in my life. They're supposed to be the people that are my biggest cheerleaders. And unfortunately, the way we were raised, we were pitted against each other our whole lives almost. We were always trying to compete with one another because if we could get praise on our own, it was better than the other person getting it. We were always raised fighting. And one of our, somebody we were with, you know, a lot, would tell the other one constant negative things at what was said and what was done. And it was our lifestyle to compete with one another. And unfortunately, some of us never grew out of that. And it's upsetting. Like this email I was reading, it was a very long one, I'm not going to read it, but he is in constant competition as well with somebody in his life that he loves so much, but they have never told him good job, they've never told him they're proud of him, they've never acknowledged what he's going through in life. And when you have people like that in your life and you know, this can be where a lot of anxiety and depression stems from. I'm in therapy over mine. I mean, goodness gracious. When it comes to family or close friends that you've grown up with, it gets to the point where you go, how much longer is this going to be worth it? And even for me, I'm at that point right now. My last gathering I did, I kind of thought to myself, this wasn't worth it. And it's almost like you hit that point where you go, what am I even doing anymore? Why am I trying to make these people like me? Like, I like me. And yet, they don't care for me. And I let them bring me down. I let them make me think I am less than them. And I'm not. I always love the saying, if you wouldn't trade lives with this person, why does their opinion matter at all? And the people I'm referring to, you couldn't pay me all the money in the world to trade lives with these people. I love my life. I'm not saying they have a bad life. They have great lives. I love them very much. But I wouldn't trade lives with them. I love my life. So why does somebody else's opinion of me hurt my feelings? Well, because I love these people. And I know that we all feel that way about somebody. We all feel that love for somebody that we just keep trying when it's actually the other people that need to work on themselves. And that's the biggest thing I can take away from everybody that's dealing with people who are toxic, who you're really struggling with. It has nothing to do with you. I can't do anything right by these people in my life. I can't go on the right vacations. I can't buy the right clothing. I can't do the right makeup. I can't, you know, take the right pictures. Like, I can't do anything right. They don't even like where I send my child to school. And here I am thinking that one day they're gonna see how much I love them and it's gonna change. And I'll tell you what, it's been 30 years and I've never felt accepted by these people. So what makes me think that just because I finally love myself, that they will accept me? If anything, when we fully love ourselves, people are more resilient towards you because they see that in you and they're upset that they can't find it in themselves. They have to always be negative, always spread gossip or drama. And when you're not, that's not your lifestyle, but yet when you're with these people, that becomes your lifestyle. You think to yourself, now why do I do this? If every time you leave these people's companies, you question how you acted so out of character around these people, maybe it's not you anymore. That's the lifestyle you have officially chose to leave behind, and probably for very good reasons. My little tip I wanted to share. Maybe we can all try this together, because the amount of messages I get from people that are struggling because the people that they have in their lives, they really want to keep them there, but they're not sure how to get around these people being so negative. Let's try it together. Let's try the what's and the how's. How is this affecting you? What I'm doing in my life, and what is it that is bothering you about this so much? Make these people question why they feel it's their right to judge your life, you know? And even personally myself, I've heard friends or even family talk negatively about something that I had seen or been a part of, and something I didn't think twice about. And these people picked it apart. And you wonder what it is in these people, in their hearts, of why and what happened to them to why they have to put others down so much. And you just think it has to be something in themselves. It has to be a love they're lacking in their own hearts. And you have to pray that they find that one day, or that they come along a journey that helps them discover they're better than bringing others down. You're better than gossiping about every person in your life. You're better than the drama that is brought around. And even me, the people's lives I wanted to be a part of so bad, their little group, I know it would be fake. I know for a fact, even if they faked it with me, even if they faked being nice to me, never said one more mean thing to me, I know the minute I walked out that door, there would be nothing but negative things. So then you have to ask yourself, so why do I want this? What is this going to do for me? Nothing. I'm going to constantly question how I act, how I look, what I say around these people. I can never truly be my authentic self. I will always feel nervous. I will always wonder what's said about me. And it gets to the point where you just go, it's not worth it anymore. So, I don't know. I'm personally on this journey as well. And I know a lot of you are doing it too. So that's why I really wanted to make kind of a little bit of a different episode. I always say, get rid of the toxic people. Get rid of the negative people. But what happens when these people in your life are so incredibly important to you that it's just not that easy? It's not difficult to rid of toxic people at the workplace. Let's switch shifts. It's not difficult to rid of certain people you don't see all the time, or certain friends that you kind of grew out of. But what happens when these people have been a part of your life for so long that without them, you are no longer a part of a certain lifestyle anymore? That's the hard part. For me, it's a lot of my family. And I even questioned it with my therapist. I said, you know what? After all the family members I've cut out, I think to myself, is it me? But then I also say, I'm so confident in myself and my lifestyle that I'm leading. I know that it's not. I have escaped this nasty cycle that my family had become, an exception of quite a few people. It's not my entire family. I have escaped this cycle of negativity and victimizing ourselves and making ourselves think like we're so much better than all these people. I escaped that. And I don't want to be anything like those people. But at the same time, it's not easy. You are getting rid of an entire lifestyle, like I said. When it comes to people who have been a part of your life for so long, and that's the only life you knew, then what? Then what do we do? And I have to say, I'm thinking of it more as like a breakup. You know, after breakups, you know, you have that crushing feeling. You don't want to drive the same roads. You want to create new lifestyle, new habits, new routines. And that's what I'm thinking of it like. I have to create new routines where those phone calls once were made. Let me make a different one. You know, where those gatherings and holidays were once had. I have to create my own now. And not out of hate or out of spite, but out of health. I'm doing this for my health because I know that anxiety and depression and mental health are so fragile that I can't allow something that just because it would be nice to have, I can't allow the toll it would take on me because I know I won't get it. People spend their whole lives trying to be good enough for some people, and I can't be one of those people, as well as I'm sure many of you. It takes too much of our energy. It takes too much of our time. It takes too much of our self-love and self-worth to constantly try to prove to other people that you're worthy. Takes away from you seeing it. I am obsessed with myself. I say that in the most genuine way. I love myself so much. I love how hard I work on myself. I love how many things I've overcome in my life. If people knew the dark days I've went through and the things and the holes I've pulled myself out of, I think more people would be proud of me. But since I don't speak on that, I don't tell many people what I've gone through. People think my life is perfect. I'm this conceited, spoiled brat. But if I spoke to them for 10 minutes about what I've gone through and the things I've done and thought and pulled myself away from, they wouldn't feel that way anymore. They would probably feel bad for me, which is why I avoid that. I don't want people to feel bad for me. I want to create a version of myself that people do think I'm happy. And if you want to think that I think I'm better than you, then you go for it. Because that doesn't speak on me. That speaks on you. If you think people are posting things out of spite on your feelings, you have to work on something. And if you're one of those people that are always judging and always picking others apart and maybe always attacking somebody's looks or lifestyle, I suggest you take a very, very, very hard look in the mirror. Because those people have most likely been through the hardest of hardships to learn to love themselves that much. They didn't just wake up one day and go, "I'm great." Every person I've ever met has been torn down to the studs. And if you have been lucky enough and just felt enough love around you to rebuild that, sorry, got a little choked up for a second. It is the hardest thing you will ever have to do to come from a place of pure hatred for yourself and rebuild that to a place where you are happy. So please do not be one of those people. I guarantee the person you are tearing down or constantly judging or stalking their page or making them feel less than, it is taking more of an effect on them than you know. And how dare you take away what they worked for? How dare you even try? Hopefully they have loved themselves up enough that they don't let you in. But at the same time, who do you think you are to try to take away something from their worth? Something as small as somebody questioning how I spent my money almost ruined my whole day. It played an impact on my whole week. I talked about it in my therapy session because it was still upsetting me. Somebody questioning just how I spent my money. Something that simple. Because I love this person very much. And they attacked me for something they do all the time. Going on a vacation. I've not been on a vacation in 10 years. Me talking about taking a vacation sparked a flame under this person's ass. And that hurt me. They sat there and tried to minimize what I do in my life to earn money and tried to make me feel small and less than because she has a different kind of work life than I do. I make my money in different ways, and I don't tell people how I do it. I just do. Barely anybody I know knows about this podcast. I don't advertise much for it. I think I did one time. I was very excited to get a sponsor, and I had said something one time on my Facebook. I was so excited that somebody else had heard my podcast. That was the only thing I mentioned of it. So it's not something that I advertise a lot about. I do a lot of things on the side, but I do work from home. And just, I don't know. I don't think it had anything to do with my work life. I think it had to do with just pure drama. That's all it is. That's all I can sum people up into these days. They like the drama. They like the meanness, I guess. And yeah. So anyways, please don't be one of these people. I know this episode is a little bit of a story, but it just kind of brings me to so many of the things I get from people. So to wrap it back up, don't be these people. Don't do that, because I know people with mental health issues, it can go one of two ways. I always say that people with mental health treat people so nicely, but I guess I don't know that for sure. Maybe they can be bitter and upset about what they go through and be rude and unkind to others. But you should be the one looking in the mirror as well. That look what you go through, look what you deal with, and you never know how well people hide it. I hide it so well. I could be having a full mental breakdown and you're going to see my hair and my makeup done and I'm out and I'm ready to go. It's tough. It's really tough. Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to Loving Yourself Completely and turn on the notifications to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today. Rounding back, so last week I talked about, you know, our goals and we were setting, but that was on Wednesday, and there's not been many days in between. Finally, I'm trying to get back to our regularly scheduled programming. I really have been enjoying reading you guys' goals for yourselves, and not so much as personal, like right there in front of your face goals, but mental health goals. Not thinking a certain way, not feeling like you have to be a certain way, trying to undo your way of thinking, because that's what messes most of us up the most. Even me, I told you guys I wanted to stop making myself feel like I have to be so perfect. I love doing as much as I can for my family, but sometimes I take it too far and I try to do everything perfect, and I set myself up for failure because nobody's perfect. So when something doesn't go as planned or go my way, it is a huge letdown for me. And I mean huge, something so small, but it didn't go perfect, and it's a big letdown for me. I am not sure why I feel this way. Even in my parenting, I talk about this a lot with my therapist. I should really get him on here. I talk to him about even my son. So I feel like I always have to be perfect. I feel like I have to make sure he has everything lined up for him, and I have to make sure I make the right decisions when it comes to him, and that I send him to the right schools, and that we do the right programs and tutoring and health and vitamins and like literally everything. I research and I do all of my mom's stuff, but I take it to a whole extreme level, and I feel so tense when I'm unsure of how it will turn out. I mean, I get so tense. Sometimes my neck will twitch, like my head will twitch, because my shoulders are so tense waiting for the outcome of certain things. And I was telling my therapist this, and he said to me, so you're pretty much just setting yourself up for a letdown. And I was like, what? And he's like, well, nobody's perfect. So when something goes wrong, what happens? And I never thought of it that way before. I just thought that I got so overly disappointed in myself. No, it was because my expectation far exceeded any reality that could come to it. There's no way things can work out the way I think they can. So those are my goals. And until I feel I am doing better in that, that will be my goal for a while. And I may add on to that, you know. So for now, my goal is to lower my expectations for myself. I don't have these expectations for anybody around me. Why do I have them for myself? You know, when my fiance messes up or Blake messes up or something doesn't go as planned for them, I laugh and I always say, oh, it's okay, we can do this. Why do I not do that for myself? Why do I tear myself apart when I don't do as well on a test as I think I should have, or I didn't get as far as I wanted to get in my book that night, or, you know, like I just do so much and I put so much pressure on myself that I can't possibly live up to it. So I live in a constant state of disappointment some days. So that's what I'm working on. I'm heavily working on that. And I want to work on addressing thoughts during the day that should be addressed in those moments. I heard on this other podcast I listened to, I wish I could remember the name. If anybody knows it, you can email it to me and I will give them a shout out because it has stuck with me. This guy said, staying busy during the day and keeping your mind busy is of course a good thing. You know, you want to stay busy and keep your brain healthy. But then at the end of the night, we have all these thoughts, all these things going through our mind, what we need to do, what we need to get done, this, you know, what happened 10 years ago. And he said, it's like checking your email after a week, you know, stay up to date on your email or it's going to get flooded in with junk and trash and things that are important and things that aren't important. Check your email throughout the day. Do a mental health check-in every couple of hours throughout your day and what moment of your day you're in. And I started doing that. Sometimes at night when I didn't do it enough, I'll notice my thoughts come flooding in and I struggle sleeping. And I'll say to myself, oh, I should have checked my emails more. I should have checked my emails more throughout the day. But I do. It's a very interesting concept because I notice I wake up about an hour before I have to wake my son up for school. I get everything ready, backpacks, lunches, and things like that. And I try to sit down, go through my calendar, write down my stuff for my journal, drink some of my coffee, maybe get a little workout and something for myself if I can. And I try to check my email in my mind and on my phone. I think to myself, okay, here is my plan for the day. This is what I need to address now. These are what bills I have to do. These are what errands I have to run after school drop off. This is what I have to do in this moment. And then maybe around lunchtime while I'm eating lunch. Sometimes I'll watch TV while I eat my lunch, but oftentimes I like to sit in silence during lunch when nobody's here and I will think and I'll go, where are all these thoughts that hit me at nighttime, you know? Where are they at? Sometimes they don't hit me. Sometimes I'm in a daze because I'm still just processing my day. But a lot of times I'll think of things and I'll go, oh, I did forget to do that this morning. I did forget to address that. I did forget to call them. I did forget to, you know, make sure this was on point, you know? So I do that. And then I try to do it again, maybe after dinner time, after a shower, maybe while I'm in the shower, addressing these emails again. That way at night, it's not so overwhelming for all the things you have to do the next day because you know you can address them at certain points of the moment. You don't have to jump up out of bed and write it down so you don't forget. You can address them at certain parts of the day. So remember to check your emails every day, a couple times a day. Dare, D-A-R-E. It's a free app that helps manage anxiety, panic, and breathing. They're a small-owned company that have been doing big things. They help with guided meditation, embracing sensations, handling situations with anxiety, and they'll even help to end your insomnia. There's an amazing SOS button when you're in need of immediate relief from guidance with their audios. They'll send you daily inspirations to your phone. You can also upgrade to their premium for $9.99 a month for an extra 150 plus of their therapeutic audios, a new daily dare audio every day, monthly themed challenges, and online supportive communication. Dare is free. Download it today. All right, speaking of emails, here is our challenge again for this week. Create your goals for your mental health. You can create one goal for mental health this week and one goal for your actual life this week, your physical life. So for me, like I said, I'm going to work on me and my perfectionist lifestyle. And my goal for this week for personal, I want to get through the rest of my study guide on my book. I want to be able to review all my stuff. Like I said, my final test to be done with school is on May 3rd. My anxiety is just, it's right at the brim right now because, you know, it's coming up. May 3rd is coming up quick and I'm getting just very nervous, but I'm not allowing it to get to me because I know that one day it'll just be done and then I won't have to worry about it anymore. I'll be on with my other career stuff. So that's my goals for this week, is to just not worry so much and stop trying to perfect everything and everyone in my life. So we all have things we want to work on. Please write in your goals for this week. I love helping each other stay motivated and on track. And sometimes when you tell somebody these goals and your wishes, you're more likely to stay on track. So it's really helpful. So you can either message me on our new Instagram page that is at Loving Yourself Completely, or you can send with emails. A lot of people seem to be more comfortable with emails. It is lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com. I keep wanting to put the at in front of my email, but that's only for Instagram. I need to stay up to date on these new things. So you guys, I hope you have a wonderful week. And to all those people dealing with negative friends or people in your life, I say that lightly, it is possible to get them to understand who you are, but you have to also question how hard you should have to work on that, because that's not up to you. These people will never see you how you want them to see you if they're not okay with themselves. Nobody can carry that much hate if they're happy with themselves. Remember that. It has nothing to do with you. It's not about you. It's not towards you. Everything these people say is all for themselves. For some reason, even if people look like they have it all together, if they carry that drama and negativity in their hearts, they're lacking something that they're not quite sure what it is yet. Don't take it so personally. I know we all do. People with anxiety especially. Myself, I take things so personally. I'll think about it all night. It makes me anxious. It makes me not want to go those places anymore. But we can't take it. We can't take it so hard on ourselves. These people need to start doing some major self-love. So please write in. Let's hold each other accountable. Let's stop worrying what other people think so much, because 9 out of 10 has nothing to do with us. And most likely we already know that. Still a hard concept when somebody can be so directly rude to you. So let's work on that together. Continue loving yourself completely. Have an amazing week. And just know that you are worth somebody's kindness always. You never deserve anything but kindness. So keep that in mind when you're around certain people. I love you guys so much. Love yourselves. Write in your journals this week, or write them to me. I love reading them as well. Sorry, my voice is going in and out. My allergies this year are just, that's a goal too. Get over my allergies. Oh my goodness. I love you guys. Have a wonderful week, and I will see you next Sunday. Thank you.